flags when there are two on the same date, and I just and I can always tell because it's just a few seconds, so I just need it.
Let's go to First John. We're still studying, looking from the top down, trying to get a handle on it. First John chapter something or other. Chapter 5. Let's just look at one. Let's look at verse 4, chapter 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? So, there's something here about it's got to believe something more than just mouthing the words. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. But what does it mean to overcome the world? Anybody?
You've broken the connection.
Hmm?
You've broken the connection of desire for the things of the world.
Internally.
It's done because of that transformation of, says he who believeth, which puts you one, you believe you're in another dimension that the world doesn't have power over.
To believe, as we've talked about many times, has stages. And the stages that are discussed in 1 John are the clearest. And the one believes that Jesus is the Christ, and that he is, let's go a page or two back to look at it so we can see it in 1 John.
You just maybe think we believe in to the point where.
Yeah, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. And that's the little child. And the only thing you know is that your sin is forgiven. And that is massive, it's huge. It's. And then he says next, I brought unto you fathers, because you've known him that is from the beginning. So he jumps from the little child to the father position. I brought unto you young men, because you've overcome the wicked one. And that's, again, those that are in the promised land, but not in the mercy seat. But then he, really here comes the second stage. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. Past tense. And that's the last part of verse 13. So we've gone from the little child and still in the world, but his sins are forgiven. We brought unto you all the way to the fathers, because you overcome the wicked one. And then it goes back to, I write unto you, young men or teenagers, because you have known the Father. You don't even think you know the Father now. That's the meaning of, that's the trial of faith in the wilderness. But the path, just like in the Psalms of Ascent, isn't linear. It doesn't go, it goes up and down and up and down and up and down. And then it says the next one in verse 14, I have written unto you fathers because you've known him that is from the beginning. And then that, so that's You've been with him from the beginning. Then I've written unto you, young men, this is the teenage, I mean the young adults, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you've overcome the wicked one. So those stages are the four stages of belief. To believe, but you're still in the world. Then you go from there to the wilderness, where you don't even think you don't even think you believe then, but you've once known him, you once believed. Then I write to young adults, because you've overcome the wicked one, you've overcome the evil one. And then I write to you fathers, because you've been with him from the beginning. Now where is faith in all those? It's obvious that faith herein, there are at least four stages of faith. And to have overcome the world, that's the father position. You've overcome the world because there's nothing in the world that has any attraction to you. And it doesn't mean it's any, there's no ranking of people whether they're all are saved. But these four rankings, or four apparent rankings, are simply discussing your position in the body of Christ and the bride. But you see, I hope you see, I hope you agree, that those are real stages that are dependent on something. They're dependent first, obviously, that you've seen Jesus, or something about him that you've accepted. And then it goes all the way to the Father position, because you've been born, you truly, the meaning of born again, you're born from the beginning of beginnings. And so that's the struggle, to make sense of these stages versus the other scriptures. So at which stage have you overcome the world? Well, obviously you haven't overcome the world if you're still in the world. You haven't overcome the world if you're still in the wilderness, the teenager position.
I'm not sure about the one you just said, because we're supposed to be in the world but not of the world. You just said you haven't overcome the world if you're still in the world. I mean, you...
Well, it means that...
Because you never get to the father position until after your death. I mean, physical death.
No, it's not what it means. It's the depth of faith.
No, I'm telling you, what you said doesn't make sense.
I missed something.
Okay. You said we don't overcome the world until... I mean, it sounded like until your physical death.
I didn't say that. I didn't mean to say it.
Okay, well, that's what you said, as long as you're still in the world. And so it didn't make sense. Still in the, we're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. I mean, that's...
Okay, let me clarify it then. There's still parts of you that are still of the world.
That's better clarification.
Okay. And those four positions are real. They're not they're not philosophy, or they're the real stages of belief. And the overcoming of the world, this is our, that even our I'm sorry, I should have stayed in bed, probably. The four stages are dependent on the depth of faith. Now, it doesn't mean that some are, that you believe, but you're not yet in the body of Christ, because the body of Christ is made up of all kinds of levels. Let's go to. I can't even think. Let's go to Romans It's not in a place where it's supposed to be in my Bible.
They do jump around.
Mm-hmm.
They do jump around. You know, I was thinking about the four stages you're just talking about.
No, I'm thinking about where it says, now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Well, it's not where I thought it was, so... It must be in Corinthians. Excuse my idiocy there. It is in Corinthians. You're right, Mr. Buckley.
Oh, that's the first time.
Chapter 12. Verse 12, yeah. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not of the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Or excuse me. And if the ear shall say, because I am not of the eye, if the eye shall say, excuse me. If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? Pete, would you read, or somebody read?
But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? And now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular.
Okay. So we can see that the only thing that we have in common is faith. But we've also seen there are these different levels of faith. And so even from the standpoint of people that we think are heretics, it's not our business to say that they're not of the body. And so, but I believe, and this is where we may have a problem, or I may have a problem, I believe that the body is made up of us, not me. And that us business is critical.
What do you mean us, not me?
My interest isn't of whether I'm going to be saved or not.
Right. Exactly.
My interest is that we be together. And that the same for all the members of the body, that we be all together. I mean, there's something about, I mean, since the Seder group has been going on since 1500 years before Christ, there's something unique about those Seders. And it's not discussed in particular. There's much about it in the in the Talmud and some of the other writings, but, you know, it's not trustworthy. But I believe that the Seder groups are, even though if they don't know they're Seders, are Seders. Because there's some kind of grouping, even if it's just simply a Sunday school, where the essentially where if each of us, each in here, for us, we know about everything there is to know about each other. And, you know, and hopefully we love each other anyway. Because normally, that's what causes this, these different... The church, people go to church because they don't want all of that about them known to everybody. I'm not saying that's why they go to church, but it's certainly one of the reasons why they stay. And, you know, it's very controversial that we've seen that to expect all of us to be of the same portion, if you will, of the body of Christ is pretty heavy. But that's from the beginning of me teaching, that's what I've tried to do. And I've screwed up innumerable times. But the idea is that we will spend eternity together. And therefore we should all be of one mind, of one faith. And all of the discussions over the years, in the, you know, when we weren't recording anything, were kind of, I don't know how to say it, they were less... I want to say less hard sayings, but that's not true. But there was no recognition that it, about what the words were going on to anyone else is what I'm trying to get to. But now we've got, you know, jillions of people. I don't know how many, but from the emails I get, it's a bunch. That, for instance, here as us, people get tired of Gary and I going at it over these issues. But people that listen, it's been one of the most things that's most helpful to them. Believe it or not, and one of the things that people, other things that people say the most, that helps them the most, is when John speaks, asks questions, or takes a position. And so all of these things, in my mind, are necessary. And that's why I told you the other day that you've got to be exactly as you are. I'm not trying to get you to be different.
No problem.
But you, by the same token, you get mad at me a lot.
Well, that's all right.
Huh?
It's different than that.
Well, I know it's different than in the world. But anyway, the reason I'm going through all of this is there are these different levels of faith that are talked about. It we just read in 1 John. But yet there are all these members of the body. And that has been confusing to me, I must confess, is how to approach teaching. I decided that I'd approach all teaching from the ultimate goal of ultimate sanctification. And maybe, and I don't know if that's right or not, but it's what I believe the Holy Spirit led me to teach. Because I'd feel like a hypocrite if I taught anything else. And so it's interesting. The person that had the most effect on me in terms of a witness of what the need to preach the way I do is from Carrie Rentler. And she writes, you know, I've only read a couple of the letters that she's written, but she's written a bunch, and that the one that's lately, which I think I will try to find and read, is this idea of how can you possibly not use your mind? And that's the one that I'm going to pull out and talk about, because it she says it much better than I have. And so, but the point of it is, I'm rambling here, but the point of it is I want to make sure that we're not talking about any grades of belief or faith have any more importance than any other grade. But for me, I have to preach the cross. And I have to continue to do that until the Holy Spirit reveals that I shouldn't do it anymore. And so that's the hardest preaching there is. Because to live by faith alone is just, it's the one thing that scared me more than anything else about living by faith. And I'm sure I don't do it and haven't done it, but that's what I see is this, the idea that I'd seek repentance for anything that I wasn't doing of faith. And that's the only thing I've known to do. But anyway, I'm rambling here, so I'll quit. But I just, the idea is I wanted to make all of us see that there are no hierarchies of faith, and that there are hierarchies of how faith is used in the same way that it was in the natural body. So there's different ways it works in our bodies, but yet each cell in our body has the capacity to make another me or you if you cloned it. Everything that will make you you is in every gene that could be a duplicate of you. I don't think there can, you know, it's too scary to think of there would be a duplicate of me, but anyway, the whole idea, at whatever level, the belief in Christ is the genetic structure of the body of Christ. You understand what I'm saying? And there's not one more important than any other. So, you know, I may think that some preaching at some church is crazy, but they still preach that Jesus is the Christ. So I have, they're fine. I still think they're crazy, but
rejoice,
huh?
You can rejoice still,
right? And so anyway, I just felt that it was needed to go through this kind of overview of faith to maybe make some sense of what we're doing. Okay. Any response to any of this?
If you look at what you just said, and then it being an overview of the eternal body of Christ, we could be designated as a part that has a function within the body that's different than many other. So they're out there preaching Christ, great. We're doing what we're doing, that's great. We're doing it with everything we got to do it with.
And the only ones that I know that are doing it also are the with JW's groups.
Yeah.
And so I feel a special closeness to him and to those people because they preach the same thing I do. So anyway, the only thing is they don't. JW and I have had several long talks about this. They don't preach really the bride and what that means. So, anyhow, any other response?
I'll go ahead and say something. The preaching of the cross causes something to take place. And sometimes I think maybe you don't realize what you've caused in the preaching of the cross. And I think that's why you and I have fight, because I think the preaching of the cross has caused something to happen. It's changed who I am. And I went from who I was to in accepting of that. I accept my death. How that happens is a mystery, but I did do it. And I did it, and I did it, and I did it over the years. And I don't believe that I'm the same person as I used to be, because he's increased and me, Gary, decreased. That whole process happens. And so that's why I think there's something that's taking place that caused me to just see things differently now. And,
the only thing that I'm not belittling any of that, but the only thing that I'm saying is the possibility that there is still another stage.
I don't resist that whatsoever.
Okay.
Because, you know, when you started, you would be willing to give up your salvation for another, I believe. I think I've heard you say
that. Oh, yeah, no question.
Yeah, and I feel the same thing. It's like it's not about me being saved or anything like that. I would give it up for another that seeing the need or whatever. And that's hard to come to that position where you can even mouth those words, you know.
Yeah, that's why Paul is so important to me.
Yeah.
I preach Paul more than any other
yeah.
scripture. But, anyhow, take it, big guy.